We appreciate the job Clifford did in directing our singing. Yeah, he had a new burst of zeal and enthusiasm as well. These prowls eating something. Yeah, Eric did a good job this morning, and Clifford following this evening in his illustrious footsteps, and we are grateful. One thing we can be thankful for, there are a number of things we can be thankful for and should be thankful for about the Hart Street congregation. One is the enthusiastic zeal with which we sing songs of praise to the God of glory. And we have a number of talented song leaders. I know some places don't have not one. No, not one. But we are blessed to have a number of good song leaders, and the congregation enjoys singing. And they are enthusiastic in their singing, and that is good. We are glad that we are back this evening, delighted that God has blessed us to return. And this is a wonderful privilege that we have, and it should be a joyful privilege. It shouldn't be something that we dread. It shouldn't be something that we want to avoid. We should look forward with anticipatory joy to come together every time the people of God assemble in this place, because we love each other and we love the Lord preeminently, and we are delighted to be his children and to be a part of his family. And we have the attitude of the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not I was sad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Here we go again. Lord, have mercy. No, I was glad when they said unto me, and that should be the spirit that characterizes all of us as children of God. We will be talking to you this afternoon on a common theme with which all of us can relate, to which all of us can relate. It's simply problems. Problems, problems everywhere surrounding us. Problems every day. Problems we will be experiencing as long as we are tabernacling on this terrestrial ball called earth. It was Job who said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So all of us have to contend with problems. That's not a bad thing. I'm not particularly fond of problems. I don't necessarily like problems, but when I recognize the value of problems, I can be more appreciative of the way God uses problems to help us. The question on the floor is, what is God telling me with the problems he permits in my life? What is God telling me with the problems he permits in my life? The problems we face will either defeat us or develop us, depending on how we respond to them. Unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use problems for good in their lives. They react foolishly and resent their problems rather than pausing to consider what benefit they might bring. How we respond to our problems is vitally significant. Something you've heard me say before, we are not responsible for everything that happens to us in life. Some of your problems, some of your trials, some of your tribulations come upon you, and you experience not by virtue of anything you have done wrong, not by virtue of you bringing them on yourself, but because of others in our lives, because of their irresponsible behavior, because of their sins. We fall heir to a number of problems and trials and tribulations and difficulties. And you say, well, I'm not responsible for this. I didn't cause this. You did not cause a lot of it. Of course, you did cause some. But we are not responsible for everything that happens to us in this life. But do be aware of this and take conscious recognition of it. Although you are not responsible for everything that happens in your life, you are responsible for how you respond to everything that happens in your life. You say, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything wrong. Why is this happening to me? Well, regardless of why it's happening to you, it's happening. And you have to deal with it. And you are responsible as a free moral agent made in the image of God for determining how you're going to respond to whatever happens to you in life. Nobody else can take that responsibility. You have to assume the responsibility for yourself as to how you're going to respond to whatever happens to you. So don't be upset because you are beset with problems, challenges, and difficulties. There are a lot of things that have happened to me. Some I brought on myself, and some I was not responsible for, that I'd like to just sidestep and not have to deal with. But it's not that way. You have to deal with them, and God is holding you responsible for how you respond to what happens to you in life. Here are succinctly five ways God wants to use the problems in our lives. Five ways God wants to use the problems in our lives. Number one, God uses problems to direct us. Sometimes God must light a fire under us to get us moving. Problems often point us in a new direction and motivate us to change our ways. Jesus had mandated that the early disciples start preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. They seem to have kind of settled down a bit too much in Jerusalem. And God had to find a means to direct them, to send them, to motivate them as to spread out and share the gospel. And I think we see this indicated in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 and 4, following the martyrdom of Stephen. Acts 8, 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, this is Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad because of the great persecution that was launched against the church. They were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The persecution was needed to build a fire under them to get them moving. Verse number 4 concludes, therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So they were scattered because of the persecution. And they, as a result of that, as a consequence of their being scattered abroad, they took advantage of the opportunity to go everywhere preaching the word. So in this sense, God used the persecution, the problem, to direct them. But also, God uses problems to inspect us. People in some ways are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just drop them into hot water. Has God ever tested your faith with a problem? What do problems reveal about you? How do you respond to them? James says in James 1, verses 2 through 3, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So don't be afraid of challenges. Don't be afraid of problems. Don't be afraid of hardship. Don't be afraid of difficulties. Don't be afraid of trials. Don't be afraid of tribulations. God might be using some situation in your life to inspect you. But not only is this true, God uses problems to correct us. Some lessons we learn only through pain and failure. I wish it wasn't that way, but it's the best way. It's the God-ordained way, God-designed way. Now, it's likely that as a child, our parents told us not to touch a hot stove. And wouldn't it have been wonderful if we had listened to them and followed their parental directives? They are saying that, they are telling us that for our own protection. But we probably learn by being burned. Sometimes we only learn the value of something like health, money, or relationship by losing it. We have to matriculate sometimes in the college of affliction to learn the most valuable lessons in life. Consider Psalm 119 in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, the psalmist affirms, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And Psalm 119:71, even more pointed, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There are some folks, no telling where they would be if it were not for some problem, not for some affliction, not for some illness. That was a lady that I told you about a number of years ago. She was a member of the body of Christ, but she strayed away. She began to inhabit the far country, and she would drink and carouse around. She would sometimes drink and drive. And one night, when she was quite inebriated, She was drunk too. She was out driving. She shouldn't have. And she had a terrible accident. And that terrible accident resulted in the loss of both of her legs. And folks looked upon her with a spirit of pity. This poor woman, she has lost both of her legs. She is suffering. She is now non-ambulatory. She is unable to do what she used to do. We feel sorry for her, Eric. Those were the sentiments expressed by her contemporaries and her friends and family. But in the wake of that accident, after having been away from the assemblies for many, many years, she came back. And she was in her wheelchair when the invitation was extended. She slowly rolled her chair toward the front. When she was given the opportunity to speak and to share, what was on her heart? She said to her fellow worshipers, her brothers and sisters in Christ, thank God for my accident. For the loss of my legs. Had it not been for the accident and for me losing my legs, I would no doubt never have come back to the Lord. I would have been lost eternally. Thank God that I have been afflicted. I count it not a curse, but a magnificent blessing from the God of glory. I rededicated my life to Him. The poet wrote, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but I was none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. And never a word said she. But all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. We can learn from our trials, from our afflictions, from our tribulations. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 5, 11 and 12, in the well-known and appreciated and loved Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God uses problems to correct us, to teach us. Fourthly, God uses problems to protect us. You see, a problem can be a blessing in disguise if it prevents you from being harmed by something more serious. I read of a man who was fired from his job for refusing to do something unethical that his boss had asked him to do. Lost his job, lost his source of income. His unemployment was a pernicious problem. But in the words of Paul Harvey, consider the rest of the story. His unemployment was a problem, but it saved him from being convicted and sent to prison a year later when management's actions were eventually discovered. He was spared imprisonment and embarrassment because he was fired. The firing was an undeniable blessing because it led to him avoiding sure enough problem. We think about Joseph, how he was persecuted, how he was hated, how he was despised by those wicked, envious, malicious brothers. How he was placed in the pit. How he was sold into servitude. How he was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar after he refused her amorous advances, how he was relegated to prison. All of these things could be perceived as being negative, but indeed, they were all a part of God's plan for the benefit of Joseph and for the benefit of Joseph's family, and for the benefit of many others, in addition to the benefit of the Egyptians themselves. When Joseph was elevated to ride in the second chariot, some characterize him as one of the world's first secretaries of agriculture in charge of the distribution of grain. Joseph, talking to his brothers, said, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good." I believe that God blesses some of us by allowing us to remain poor, because he recognizes, I believe, that some of us could not handle millionaire status. Some of y'all couldn't handle the lottery jackpot. Y'all couldn't handle it. Y'all would abandon the Lord so fast it would make our heads swim. Now, some people say, well, those people who say money can't buy happiness just don't know where to shop. God looks out for us. I think God keeps some of us, and I'm not speaking personally, homely Because if we were beautiful, if we were shown enough fine, if we were shown enough handsome, we couldn't handle it. We'd leave the church running, thinking we shown enough got it together and we're shown enough somebody. So God wants to protect us. My precious wife helps keep me humble. And my precious daughter helps keep me humble as well. Even a man as gifted, as talented, as endowed by manifold blessings of God, even Paul had to be restrained, because there was the possibility of him developing the big head. 2 Corinthians 12, that Brother William read a little while ago, Paul said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. The Lord had to give me a problem. The Lord had to buffet me. He had to mess with me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, it was uncomfortable. For this thing, it wasn't pleasant. For this thing, it wasn't desirable. I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He was willing to suffer that he might maintain a proper attitude and spirit before the God of glory. God uses problems to perfect us. Finally, problems, when responded to correctly, are character builders. You see, God is far more interested in your character than he is your comfort. Your relationship to God and your character, two of the only things you're going to take with you into eternity. God uses problems to help mature us, to help complete us, to help us to grow up spiritually. Even Christ had to endure some problems and some suffering. Notice Hebrews 5 as we close, verses 8 and 9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. He was sinlessly perfect all of the time, but he had to go through what he went through in order to be perfectly suited to be our complete one-time sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. And in order for him to complete his ministry, he had to endure and experience that suffering. We can't escape it. He had to suffer. We have to suffer. Here's the point. God is at work in our lives, even when we do not recognize it or understand it. However, it is much easier and more profitable when we cooperate with him. Sometimes we find that it is hard, as did Saul of Tarsus, to kick against a prick. The Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the prick. Sometimes we can have troubles and trials and tribulations, and we resist them, we fight against them with all of our might. And we don't derive the proper benefits from the suffering and from the troubles that we experience. Jack Evans speaks of a student in a history class. He said to the professor, he said, "Professor, is it true that history repeats itself?" And the professor said, "Yes, particularly if you flunk it." A lot of times we flunk the tests that God gives us for our own benefit. And we are oblivious to God's purposes and God's design. And we keep on having the same kind of tests, the same kind of troubles, because we don't learn from them. We flunk them. And we keep falling in the same hole, falling in the same pit. But let us respond appropriately and wisely to the problems that are sent our way in life. Whether we bring them on ourselves or whether somebody else brings them into our lives. Be well aware and well assured of the fact that no matter what problems you face in life, no matter what difficulties you become enmeshed in life, be always aware that the Lord promises to be with you, that the Lord promises to protect you, that the Lord promises to help you, to strengthen you, to sustain you. Recognize, like Paul, that his grace is sufficient for you. If you are here this evening and you're facing problems, you're up to the gills in problems, challenges, and you're frustrated, and you want to know what to do when you don't know what to do, call upon the Lord. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls." If you need prayer, if you need encouragement, you can always come to the Lord. You can always make your requests known. It's always appropriate to request prayer. Whether you have sinned or not, you need the help of your brothers and sisters. You need the help of the Lord. Will you come as we together stand and as we sing?